Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.
And I'm Cindy Zimmerman.
That's right. You get both of us this week. Next week, it'll be just me, though, and I'll be in Norway at the International Federation of Agricultural Journalists Congress. This week, we want to talk about the growing use of new media in agricultural communications. 2 years ago, there just was no such thing. There were no farm podcasts, for example. Now, if you search in iTunes and use keywords like agriculture or farming, you're going to find over 50 results. And that doesn't count farm podcasts that are available, but just not categorized properly in iTunes. Hey, iTunes is good, but it isn't perfect, you know? And if you Google search for the term farm blogs, you're going to get thousands of results, when a couple years ago there were virtually none. So what's happening and why? How about the proliferation of high-speed broadband internet connection among farmers? There's no question that we've now got a sufficient number of them that it's important and necessary even to use some of these new media communication vehicles to try to reach them.
Well, also companies, I think, are learning that they can use the internet to not just reach farmers, but other people. For example, that's the main reason we're doing this podcast. And in today's world, you can deliver information in the form of news releases and with audio, video, high-res photos, all to media representatives who might not be able to attend a convention, a farm show, a conference, or a media day. And that's kind of like creating what we're calling now a virtual press room. You can create a page for it on your website, but you really don't have to. It's just as easy to create like a document with live hyperlinks to the audio, the video, the image files, and then mail that to reporters. And then that'll reach the people that you want to reach. You can even post the documents to your website and then link to them.
It's always good to have some real examples of how this is being done. And just to speak from our own experience, one that I really feel we should highlight is recently I attended a Syngenta Biotechnology Media Day. And they had a number of mostly editors who attended, frankly, only a couple of farm broadcasters. But what they did was they hired me to come in. I took pictures. I recorded interviews with those representatives that were there. And before I left that day, I had posted all of that onto our website, AgWired, and you could see pictures of what was going on. You could listen to interviews. And as I posted them through the day, it was kind of like you could follow along with the event back home or on your computer for that matter. What I also did was I took all that content and I burned it onto a CD. And of course, you know, at that point, they've got MP3 files, they got pictures, they can do whatever they want with them. And what I know they're doing is pushing that out to, you know, editors or journalists who couldn't be there. And that's something that I don't think a lot of people think of because, let's face it, a lot of PR people aren't journalists themselves, you know. But why can't you hire one to work for you?
Well, we did get a lot of really positive feedback on that Syngenta Biotechnology Media Day. That was Gibbs & Sell was the agency, and Gardner Hatch sent a really nice testimonial that I'm going to read because it's really awesome. Through AgWired, we believe we were able to reach out not only to the more technically savvy growers, but also ag business in general with our Syngenta R&D leadership message. Feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. I'm extremely interested in tracking feedback and measurement of this medium. Any results you receive would be welcomed. We'll do the same from our end. Some of the other benefits of having you there beyond the great coverage on AgWired included, one, having an experienced ag journalist on site. With you reporting on the day's activities, we were able to focus on the event itself. You have a nose for news and came away with some great material. Two, a library of audio clips and photos. This will help us extend our coverage of the event as we work on post-event follow-ups for weeks to come and provide journalists with specific needs, photos, additional background, etc. Not to mention use on Syngenta's websites, e-newsletters, etc. One example, we're reaching out to farm broadcasters with a series of reports and actualities starting on Monday, and that was just recently. Three, there are endless internal opportunities to use the interviews and photos. The media day included a broad scope of R&D topics and some of the company's leading researchers, all captured on audio and in photos for internal use as well as external communications. This is my favorite part, four, the cool factor. As ag communicators, we need to push the boundaries and look for new ways to reach our target audiences using a mix of traditional media with new communication tools. And it was pretty cool to see the articles posted as the event was unfolding. AgWired has a cool factor, but we're thinking it also has a lot more depth and potential. It will be exciting to see more of those opportunities unfold in the coming months and years. Chuck, thanks again for the coverage and excellent work. And this testimonial is actually posted on AgWire.
That's one of our success stories. And like you said, that I think is just an awesome testimonial. Thank you, Gardner, for doing that. And it was just a lot of fun to do. I mean, one of the things we've been doing this for, gosh,
you didn't even pay Gardner for that, did you?
20-something years we've been doing this, but you know, here we're doing it in a completely different way. We're really doing some of the same things we've always done. You know, doing interviews, which we've done as farm broadcasters, writing about it. You got to write stories. We're just writing when it comes to the blogging side of it, like on AgWired. These are really short nuggets of information, mostly with links pointing people to where they can get more detailed information if they want it. And I think that's a style that fits, at least fits me. I know that much. And yet, I think in today's world, people like to get their information in little short bites instead of being overwhelmed especially by huge amounts of technical data. You
know? Well, when I do posts on domestic fuel especially, I'll take a press release that's sent out by, let's say, National Biodiesel Board or from the Renewable Fuels Association, and I'll just boil it down to the 30 seconds I might use on the air and then have a link to the press release. So if people want to read more information about it, they just go and they'll get the whole press release if they want it, and they know where to get it. The general public have never actually been able to read the full press release unless they find it somewhere else. Some of the other media outlets do use kind of full press releases on their sites on the website. But
well, really, that's a growing number of websites that are doing it. In fact, we've seen some sites that are now built to literally just post news releases. I mean, we have one of our own, of course, but. But believe me, we're not the only ones that do that kind of thing.
But it's nice when you do it, when I do it on domestic fuel, again, for example. It's just giving a short clip of the story. It's not, in some of these cases, like a Google News search, for example. You just get a blurb. You don't even know entirely what the story is about. But this actually boils down the story, and then if you want more, you can go and
right.
click on through to the actual
Well, this
website.
Is really kind of a natural outgrowth of what we started out doing with this company almost going on 3 years ago, which was what we called talking news releases. You know, we were focused on still the traditional way of sending news releases to reporters, but hey, why not give them some audio or some pictures? Well, this is kind of taking that even another step further because we're blogging it as we do it. In some cases, we're starting to podcast it. We are still pushing it out to traditional broadcasters. But our clients, like Syngenta in this case, through their agency, are making their own online use of the same multimedia content, which makes their websites much more attractive and interesting. And all research shows that you put things like audio and video and documents even on your website, and people are going to spend more time there. And that's only good for the company. So we've been seeing a growing amount of this. In fact, a significant amount of it this fall. You're going to see Cindy out and about a lot more, and that means we've had to invest in some more equipment so that we can, because we've got at least, what, two or three events coming up in the next month. We're both going to be on site, on location, doing this in two different cities, two different parts of the country for two different clients.
Well, just this week, we're both going to Kansas City for the American Coalition on Ethanol Conference. And then you're coming back home. And I'll be going on to Ames, Iowa then for a media day there, a media event. In both cases then, we'll be posting our coverage of these events onto AgWired and onto Domestic Fuel and providing the sponsors with copies of all the production work. That's what's really good about this. In a lot of cases, there's no question that when you go to a media day or you do interviews, of course, all these people need they want copies of what you're doing, and now we can give them copies of it, and they could do whatever they want with it after they're done. But then after that, after this week, I guess, well, next week you're going on to Norway, but then the week after that, you're going to be in Florida for the Citrus Expo and Fort Myers. We'll be blogging that for our friends at Southeast AgNet. And I'll be in Kansas City working for the National Institute for Animal Agriculture. And that conference, I'll be doing interviews and helping to develop, as we talked about, a virtual media room, sending out a daily Word document with news releases and links to audio and pictures and what have you that I'll be doing there at the meeting and making them available to media who cannot cover this event.
Well, this, I hope, gives companies and our listeners some ideas about how they might use some of these new media tools. They've probably looked at this and gone, you know, we're not bloggers or we're not podcasters, but guess what? There's companies, and it's not just ours, that are getting into this business too. And it's offering what I call some traditional media services, but basically migrating that and applying it to the internet. And I think with companies like ours, we also have our own online publications now through AgWire that we can, in a way, we kind of are offering information delivered in a somewhat traditional way, i.e. through a central point with a gatekeeper there. Maybe we're the new gatekeepers. But at the same time, we can be creating content that can be used in a number of other ways by our clients. I do have to kind of laugh a little bit, especially after having been at the Ag Media Summit, where some of my traditional media reporter friends who haven't fully embraced this yet are just, some of their comments are, well, you're just not pure journalists anymore. Well, okay, I'm sorry, excuse me, whatever. I guess I laugh about it because I just wonder if there is such a thing as a pure journalist. I mean, who out there, I've never met one, doesn't have at least some bias, and that's going to come through, even if it's a positive one. Let's say in the case of an ag journalist, most ag journalists are pro-agriculture. They're not really pretty likely to write negative things about their subject matter, are they?
They're not going to give good coverage to PETA, for example.
Yeah, you know, it's a new media world. That's what I say. And basically, the lines are blurring. And I think this is a good thing. People, and farmers are no different, are just finding lots of new places they can get news and information and perspective. And granted, there's wackos out there doing it just like there is everywhere else. But for responsible, the responsible and good ones are going to be successful. And that includes the companies that look and see new ways that they can reach out to their customers and to their members. Anything else you want to add in this? Are we done?
That'll wrap it up for
honey. I think that's the end of the Zimcast for this week. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.
And I'm Cindy Zimmerman.
Hey, thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.